wish to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's been a real blessing already to be here with you. The things that the boys said about the priorities and Corbin's thoughts on the teachings of Jesus and the music has just been a blessing, and then the fellowship with each and every one. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, our Father, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the Spirit of God that you've given, Father, to lead us to him, Father. Lord, we ask now that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you'd help us be faithful to you. Lord, that you would give us wisdom, Father, that comes from above. Lord, again, we just want to thank you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right. I think I want to open our Bible to... I think we'll start in Matthew chapter 7, this first one. Wanted to just comment just a little bit about what's been said and the songs that were sang, that the true foundation is Jesus Christ our Lord. That's such a blessing. It's such a refreshing thing. It is something that has been lost sight of. Corbin mentioned about all the different churches. You know, there's one church. There is one church. That song we sang, you know, the church's true foundation is Jesus Christ our Lord. And I think, you know, some of the words that Jesus said, you know, in his prayer, he said that they may be one. And that's something that's so easily forgotten. You know, it's easy for us to say that, you know, whenever everybody in our little group, you know, we're just going to welcome them with open arms, you know, but what happens in reality is a whole different story. I mean, you know, I've said it before that go into communities where there's plain people living and there'll be sometimes 25, 30, 40 different churches that are all plain, all practicing some of the principles of Jesus. You know, the outward ones anyway, the ones that everybody can just look and see, and they're putting them into practice, and yet, you know, whenever it comes time to having communion or fellowship together, you know, oh, they'll be friendly. They might do business together. But, boy, that time that they meet to have communion together, we commune with our little bunch, and that's all. You know, and I don't know, you know, I don't know whether we really don't understand what communion with Jesus is all about, or whether we're so focused on having, you know, just keeping our little group just right where we can control them, and everything is just so-so, and we're going to commune with this group that we can control, or not sure what happens. But throughout history, you know, we've talked quite a bit about history this week of the churches and how they've divided and divided and excommunicated and separated themselves, you know. And now we've got these 20,000 some odd different denominations, and all, you know, some will accept each other, you know, among the plain people. I mean, about the only common ground is excommunication, that they can just, and everything else, it doesn't really matter. But that's not what Jesus had in mind when he had one church in mind. That means You know, that means that sometimes people are going to look a little different or act a little different or believe a little different, and we can still accept them. You know, I just think back to 35 years ago or so, whenever I first started following the Lord. You know, I'd grown up my whole life trying to be saved. And I'd go to church, and every time there was a opportunity, and I would be up to the front and asking Jesus to come into my heart and save me. And there was just something missing there. You know, they said, well, just believe and you'll be saved. And I tried that over and over again. And next week it'd be, you know, I'd find a little rest and a little peace. And then the next week I'd be right back up there wondering whether I was saved or not. Because I hadn't had this experience to be converted. And grew up all my life like that. And then finally got to the place where I realized that, you know, there's just nothing there. And I just went into living for the world. And had, when I was 25, had become wealthy. Had 30-some houses and cattle and everything in the world. But I knew there was something still wrong. And so I just determined just to read this book to see what it said. And I began reading, and I began reading where, you know, in my case, Jesus said, just sell what you have and follow me. And wrestled with that. I sought out counsel. I sought out wisdom from other people. And all of them said, oh, that doesn't really mean that. It means something else. And I just remember wrestling with God for months. And finally, one evening, I was driving around looking at my properties. And I just said, God, I can't even do this. I can't even give it to you. All I can do is just say, here it is. You can have it. I don't know what to do. I just surrendered my will to God. And it was amazing. All it took was just me giving up. I had tried religion. I had tried to easy believe, you know. I tried all of those things. And then all it was is just surrendering what God wanted and let Him be King of my life. You know, that's the point I'm bringing out is every one of us. You know, there wasn't some church guiding me or counseling me to do all those things. There wasn't a church telling me the way to do that. I had to come to that all by myself. And you know, it was such a blessing to find that. And just want to share it with others. And right away, everybody that I knew turned against me. They just thought I'd lost my mind. And I had found something that was so precious. I'd found mercy. I'd found forgiveness. I'd found peace. I'd found rest that I'd never had before. And it wasn't because some denomination had their thumb on what I was believing. You know, we read in the Old Testament where there was a time that the children of Israel, they lost faith in their prophet. His sons weren't doing very well, and they said, give us a king. And God told the prophet to give them a king. And the prophet was all upset about it, and God said, they've not rejected you, they've rejected me. And all of the children of Israel from that time had a king. And they went on and up and down and fights and battles and won some of them. But in general, all of those different kings and different ways they tried things, it was an individual once in a while that followed Jesus or that followed God, that loved God. But the big systems, the big kingdoms and stuff, they had rejected God. And so it was, they just kept trying different ways. But they had rejected the King. And you know, we look at all these different church groups, and yeah, they might have, some of them started out pretty good, but whenever you reject the King, the Lord Jesus, when you reject the King, it doesn't matter how good things look on the outside. You've rejected the King. And whenever we began, you know, just a young man just had found the Lord, and pretty soon it wasn't long till religion started popping into the picture, you know. You get into this church, and well, we've got this doctrine here, you believe that. And so pretty soon you find yourself just caught up in arguing the right doctrine. And just discussing all these different doctrines. And anybody that don't have my doctrine, you know, it's just so easy to get caught up in all that. And we have to remember, we have to be brought back to, this is about following Jesus, and this is about Him being our King. Not about how well I manage everyone else around me, but that I follow the King. You know, when we talk about God's Spirit, when we start organizing, we usually wind up building a little box. And the sad thing is while we try to box God in, what we're actually doing is boxing God out. But we've got it all in a box, and we've got it all fixed up, and we understand. And it's amazing. The more we think we have God in a box, the reality that we hardly ever recognize is that we've not boxed Him in, but we've boxed Him out. And we go on our life with our religion, all in order, thinking that we've got God in our pocket. And we've boxed Him out. And that's the sad thing that's happened. You know, whenever we get religious, we begin to try to put everybody else in our little box. You know, like I said... There was a time that if I would have looked back at myself a year ago, well, there was no way that guy could be saved. And I was still on the same path. I just wasn't where I was a year ago. And now, praise the Lord, I can look back and see that, man, I've made a lot of mistakes. But since I started trying to follow the Lord, my goal is to follow Jesus. You know, we get sidetracked from time to time, and we get tripped up from time to time. But we get up and follow again. You know, that's the beautiful thing. You know, if we can look back at people and remember ourselves, where we were. You know, I just remember the time whenever we were, you know, I was so zealous for things, promoting this doctrine or that, or even just promoting the teachings of Jesus. And it's usually those outward things that everyone could see, you know, and you kind of look down your nose, like one of the brothers said, one of the boys said, because you're not quite where I'm at yet. Well, that's not our place. If we're looking down our nose, we're not looking up at our King. We're missing. Because when we look up at our King, we see that I have no business looking down my nose at anybody else. Because I begin to see me and my faults and my mistakes and my shortcomings. This verse in Matthew chapter 1:7 says, "Do not judge that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. You know, we hear, don't judge. You know, usually it's someone when you try to mention something that the Bible teaches, and they say, well, right away there, don't judge. But that's not what he's saying here. What he's saying is, do not judge that you be not judged. You know, we've talked several times, or have before in the past, and things about forgiveness. And it's just such a blessing to live in forgiveness. And then you hear people just like I said, we've talked about it, and here are people that have made up their mind about someone and they're not going to forgive them no matter what they do. Well, that sounds kind of holy with a little H. It sounds a lot religious. But you know, one of the boys, or the other, you're the light of the world. And I begin to think sometimes we think we're the light, and we forget that we're nothing but a reflection of that light. But whenever we get to looking down our nose, we begin to think we're the light instead of being the reflection. And I think the reason a lot of people can't forgive, we've said it before, is because they've never tasted forgiveness. The reason people have a hard time with mercy is they've never really tasted mercy. You know, it's the religious. Man, they do the right things. They do all kinds of good things. But remember, Jesus isn't just about keeping a set of rules. The Spirit of God has the Spirit of Christ in it. And His, you know, one of these things is you're going to be judged how you judge. You're going to be forgiven by how you forgive. That love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Those things, you know, if those aren't involved in, no matter how holy you look on the outside, there's nothing there representing Christ, representing God, representing His Spirit. We're just a reflection. And the only thing that I can reflect is what I've seen. When I look at this light, and you probably see this light shining off my glasses there maybe. It's just reflecting what it's looking at. And if we get to looking at my church or my religion or whatever we get to looking at, or how holy I'm going to make sure the church is. You know, when Jesus came, He didn't come making sure everybody was toeing the line. He walked and said, follow me. He wasn't turning around waiting for them to trip. He wasn't setting stumbling blocks trying to trip anybody. He just walked and people followed Him. And, you know, we see the disciples, and some of them, they were fussing against themselves, and usually when they did, they were not too close behind Him. But as we follow Him and we look at Him, we can reflect Him. And that's how you're the light of the world. That's the hope of the world. That's the salt of the earth. That's the only thing this world has. God using people to reflect. You know, like I said, we can reflect the outside things. We can just be pure as all get out on the outside. But if we're not reflecting His forgiveness, how will the world ever know forgiveness? If we're not reflecting His mercy, how will the world ever know about mercy? If we're not reflecting trust, how will the world ever know about trust? You know, it's so easy for us to be skeptical, especially when we've been burned. We've been hurt a few times. We've been misled. We've all been there. And there it goes right back to that forgiveness. You know, if we let it scar and hurt us, we usually become skeptical and we begin where we don't trust anybody and we're watching out and we don't want to be deceived and we're scared to death. But you know, an honest man believes people at their word, and sometimes they get lied to. But the honesty in their heart looks at everybody else and sees honesty. The old skeptic, the man that won't trust anybody, you know what he sees when he sees everybody else? He sees somebody trying to deceive him, because that's what's in his heart. He sees somebody, I can't trust him, because he doesn't know what trust is when it comes to trusting the Lord. You know, how can we trust God who we cannot see if we can't even trust the brethren or some of the friends we have or the people that we meet who we can see? It's impossible to trust God if we can't trust a man. That's just one of those things that we, as we trust God, it gives us a confidence that it doesn't matter if I get lied to once in a while. Because my trust is not in the other person, what they're telling me. My trust is in God. And I can forgive the other person no matter what he does to me. That's what Jesus was talking about when he was here. You know, he wasn't going out trying to make sure he put everybody in their place and got them all lined up. The only time he got riled up is whenever religious people started getting after him and getting after the people that he was trying to lead. And I don't know, I had a few years ago told that Jesus was a shepherd, not a sheepdog. And whenever we're trying to put everything in a box, that's kind of like what a sheepdog does, going around biting all the sheep, trying to herd them into a certain place and make sure they all fit right in that one little pen or whatever. And Jesus is a shepherd. And we follow him. And he doesn't force anyone. He just said, this is the way, walk in it. And if we don't walk, he lets them go. Peace. You know, what the world needs now is peace. And I'm not talking about an absence of people fighting. I'm talking about peace. No matter what's going on around us, when we've seen the peace that God has, we can reflect that to someone else. Rest. You know, when the Bible talks about rest, it's not talking about just kicking your feet up on one day a week. It's having rest in your soul. At rest. What does it matter that's going on? And I've got plenty to work on with this. I'm not saying I've got everything figured out, but I'm just saying that rest comes because we're trusting in God, not because I've got everything all figured out. And freedom. You know, that's one of the most blessed things, freedom. And Jesus died to set us free. You know, I've been bound by things. I remember when I used to chew tobacco, and I remember trying to quit. And I remember the night I was a man was preaching, and I don't even know what he was preaching about, but God just said, "Who's in control here? You or that?" And I said, "That." And I pitched it out the window on the way home. And I never wanted it again. I was free. What a blessing that is to be free. And no man could have forced me into that freedom by a bunch of religious rules or by trying to put me in his box. I was free because I surrendered to God. And that's all. And so tasting that freedom, and I think that's what Jesus was trying to do, is to give that freedom to everyone. You know, most people get in authority in church and right away they're trying to herd everybody in. Well, if our goal is freedom, you don't need to do that. People are here because they want to be. They want to follow the Lord. We fellowship because we want to be and we want to have that fellowship. You know, most people would rather have security than freedom. They'd rather have safety than freedom. And you know, those boxes, boy, there's a lot of safety in those boxes. You know, Benjamin Franklin said something that should have been probably quoted a long time ago by somebody in the church. But I think the church was so caught up in the box that they missed it. But Ben Franklin said, "Those who will sell their liberty or their freedom for safety and security deserve none of them." You know, being free, you've got to stand on your own feet. You got to take your own path. Sometimes it might not be the popular way, but you got to stand on your own path to have that freedom. You know, the freedom in the world is just a reflection. It's the same battles are going on in the world. You know, that with people are always coming up a new way to have communism where everything's all perfect. And the problem is every time, every one of them thinks, well, they know it hasn't been, it never succeeded. But they begin to say that, well, they haven't done it my way. And so they try it again, and everybody falls for the same thing. And it's the same with the church. Well, we just haven't gotten my set of rules implied. But it's the same old thing tried over and over again. There's one church, and it's for free people. You know, our goal is to obey Jesus, keep his rules. Our goal is to be the light of the earth. And all of these other things balance right with the outward. We want the outward. We want to keep the outward. We want to be a blessing. There's blessings in them. There's good things in all of those things. But there's love, mercy, forgiveness, peace, rest. And that's just as much a Spirit of God as keeping all those outward things. It's all part of it. You are the light of the world. Reflect what God has given you. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
Peace. The only way to really get true peace is just trust. And have trust in that. get peace in that.
Praise the Lord.
Singing at 2:30 at Mount Vernon, also the COVID.
Okay. All right.
And the boys for next week, can they come up with something that they've learned just to share with them?
Okay. Well, thank you everybody for helping out yesterday with the work bee. It's a real blessing. All right. Well, Lord willing, we'll meet back this evening. Commune together. One thing I didn't get to, I don't guess, that communing. You know, whenever we, just like that box, Jesus said, what you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. When we separate somebody from communion, we're not separating them. We're separating ourselves from that. I remember a few years ago, there was a family here that there was somebody that they didn't approve of, and the man wasn't even communing. He just was eating supper with us. And this man came up, one of the brethren in church, and he had three families or so, and he said, we are not going to have communion with that brother. And I said, we're not even communing with him. He's just having supper with us. And he said, well, we're not going to be there. And I said, that man has got his struggles, but he's trying to follow the Lord. He's coming to following the Lord. And they said, we are not going to commune. That man is a sinner. And I said, well, you're not excommunicating yourself or him. And or the church, you're excommunicating yourselves. And they left. Three families just left. Didn't want the one brothers come back, been baptized. It's a real blessing. Anyway, so Lord willing, we'll be back here at 6:00. Communion together, have supper. You know, everybody's welcome. God bless you.